Is there a sin that God will not forgive in this life or in this world, nor in the world to come? The answer is yes. There is a sin that men may commit that God will not forgive in this world, nor will God forgive in the world to come. In the 31st verse of the scriptures that Brother Ray read, we find that again stated. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. What is the unforgivable or unpardonable sin? There are some who say that it is murder. That if you take another person's life, you have committed a sin that God will never, never forgive. Still others have said that the unforgivable sin is any of the Ten Commandments, such as telling a lie or giving false witness. In order to try to solve this puzzle theologically, some have said that the unpardonable sin is unbelief. And therefore, God could forgive you of any sin you've ever committed, but there's one thing God can never forgive you of, and that is the sin of unbelief. That is incorrect. Because we can all know without a doubt that the sin of unbelief is not the unpardonable sin, because all of us were in unbelief at one time. And now we have believed and we have been pardoned and forgiven. We have been saved. We have been born again. So the unpardonable sin is not the sin of unbelief. It's not the sin of lying, because we can see in the scriptures where men like Abraham told things that weren't true. David did things that were horrible in their consequences. People have murdered and they have been saved. People have broken the Ten Commandments since God gave them to Israel, and they have been saved. So what is the unpardonable or the unforgivable sin? Well, it's what the Bible says it is. And in order for us to answer the question, what's the unforgivable sin, we need to look at these verses that we have read here in our auditorium this morning. The issue of healing and demon possession is the issue that caused Jesus to say there is an unpardonable sin. Jesus healed a man who was possessed with a devil. And the Bible tells us that his problem physically because of demon possession was that he was blind and could not speak. Our King James Version uses the word dumb. We don't use that anymore because it did not have anything to do with intellectual capacity. The man was blind and he could not speak. And in this circumstance, no doubt, there was much frustration and confusion in trying to communicate with him. We know that this is perhaps the most difficult of the barriers that may stand between people and communication. Blindness is something that is frightening to we who are sighted. Not being able to hear incapacitates people from the viewpoint of communication and learning to speak. But here was a double tragedy: a person who could not see and a person who could not speak. Jesus caused by his power this man to both speak and to see. And when the people who had known this person for a period of time realized that he could now speak and he could now see, and these were dramatic, instantaneous, total healings. They were not something that started And after a few days, he could see a little better. And after a few months, he might be able to hear a little bit of noise here or there. It was instantaneous. It was complete. It was total. And the people, according to the word of God, were amazed. This doesn't mean they just stood there with their mouths open wondering what happened. That is, caught up in the emotion of amazement. But the word means that they changed from one condition or opinion to another. It denotes the state of mind caused by something that is not explainable. So these people who witnessed this healing had their minds changed immediately by what they had seen. And they said, as they were amazed, is not this, meaning Jesus, who had done this miracle, is not this the son of David? Of course, if he is the son of David, then he's also Messiah. He's Christ. He's the promised one. They were now inclined to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the King of Israel, the successor to the throne of David. In verse 24, the Bible tells us that the Pharisees heard it. That is, they had not only seen the miracle, but they heard what the people said when they asked the question, is not this the son of David? The Pharisees heard it, and they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And that was the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. They did not use the name Jesus. They said, this fellow, and he has done what you have seen by the power of the prince of devils. Some say it has reference to the housefly who makes its home near the dung heap, and therefore it had to do with ridicule. Whatever, it simply means that they were saying that Jesus had done the act of causing this man to see and hear, to see and speak, that he had done it by the prince of devils, that it had been a demoniac act on his part, or the power behind it had been the power of Satan and the power of demons. This fellow, he's done it. They conceded that Jesus had done a miracle, and yet they audibly expressed their belief that he had done it by the power of Beelzebul, the leader of all demons. And when they did that, they had committed the unpardonable or the unforgivable sin. Now Jesus explains, beginning at verse 25, how he could not have done what he did by the power of Satan. A rather lengthy discourse about using arguments to prove that he had not done what he had done by the power of Satan. First of all, in verses 25 through 26, he used the argument of the divided house. Jesus knew that people had constantly spoke of this principle, and so he brings this to their mind. A divided kingdom will eventually destroy itself. A divided city will eventually destroy itself. A divided family will eventually destroy itself. Jesus means this, that if a city is filled with people with different beliefs and they work at cross purposes trying to undermine one another, they will eventually succeed only in destroying the city. Whenever a kingdom is of the same character and nature, then the kingdom will be destroyed. Whenever a family is filled with those who are constantly trying to undermine one another, They don't only destroy themselves, they destroy the entire family. If Satan casts out Satan, then his kingdom will soon destroy itself. And this is the argument that Jesus makes. If I cast out Satan by the power of Satan, it means that his kingdom is divided and it will soon destroy itself. Then in verse 27, Jesus argues that their children had been attempting to or had been casting out devils. That is, either their disciples or their actually genealogical descendants had been casting out devils. How had they done it? Had the children of these Pharisees cast out devils by the power of God or the power of the devil? Jesus said, if they've cast them out by the power of the devil, then your children are going to be judges that Satan is divided against himself. If they have cast out devils by the power of God using the same circumstances that I've used, then I too have cast out demons by the power of God. Then Jesus supposes that if he asked them to suppose how had he done this, that is by the power of God in verse 28. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Jesus is saying, look, you know that there has been prophecy concerning the raising of the dead, the opening of the eyes of the blind, the opening of the ears of the deaf. You understand there's prophecy that does make these statements. And if I have cast out Satan by the power of God, and made these people, this person, whole by divine power, then you have to admit that the kingdom has come. And if the kingdom has come, it means that Satan's power has been abated and that he has been bound, and I am spoiling his kingdom. Listen to these words. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house? You can't do that and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house. Jesus is saying, if I have come into the world and I have cast out demons by the power of God, I couldn't do it until I had gained ascendancy over Satan. I couldn't do it unless I was stronger than Satan. And so you're going to have to admit that the kingdom of God has come. And you're going to have to admit that I am stronger than Satan, that Satan has been bound, and that now I am spoiling his kingdom. Jesus said in verse 30, he that is not with me, meaning the Pharisees, is against me, and I am the promised one, I am the Messiah, I am the Son of David. I have spoiled Satan's house, I have power over him, and if you are not helping me, then you're hindering me. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. He has reference to those who help in the harvest, and those people who are not involved in taking the grain and stacking it properly and caring for it properly are simply scattering it abroad so that it cannot be used properly. And that's what the Pharisees were doing. Instead of joining in the harvest of human hearts and souls for the glory of God, they were undermining the work of the great harvester himself, even Jesus, and they were scattering the harvest instead of gathering it into the place of storage where it could be used for the glory of God. So Jesus has rebuked them and rebuked them soundly. In verse 31, then he states, there is a sin that is not forgivable. Wherefore, that is based upon these facts, upon these arguments that I've related unto you, I say unto you, all manner, that is every kind of sin, and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. Look at these two words, sin. Number one, sin here means the evil principle, not just some sin such as murder or lying, but the evil principle that drives men to lie, to cheat, to murder, to steal, whatever the things they do that are wrong. It's the evil principle that is in the world. So all kinds of evil acts and blasphemy. The word blasphemy means to abuse verbally, to use harsh words against authority. So Jesus is saying, I want you people to understand that all kinds of evil and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. That's his statement of principle. All kinds of sin, all kinds of blasphemy will be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven unto men. Now let's look at verse 32, which reemphasizes what Jesus has just said. The word forgiven means to send away or to dismiss, to set free, to remit the punishment. Anyone who by words abuses the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven them. Now notice in verse 32. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. The Son of Man here is Jesus Christ. There were many people who spoke against Jesus Christ. They talked about the place where he was born, that no good thing could come from it. They talked about the place where he had lived, and they criticized his lifestyle. They talk of his lack of training theologically, that he had never received any training that they could respect. People were constantly talking against Jesus. And Jesus said that this is a forgivable sin. You can say what you want to about Jesus Christ. And people did, like Paul the Apostle, say many bad things about Jesus Christ. But they've been forgiven. They can be forgiven. People who blaspheme Jesus Christ can be forgiven. Then you'll notice that he also includes God the Father. Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, that's the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, first of all, explicitly, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. So if you have committed the sin against the Holy Ghost that Jesus is talking about here, then according to the Word of God, it'll not be forgiven in this world nor in the world to come. What is it? It's using harsh words to try to destroy and undermine the presence and power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, Paul never blasphemed the Holy Spirit. He did blaspheme Jesus, and he did blaspheme the Christians who believed in Jesus. But on the road to Damascus, Paul was still being convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. So Paul had blasphemed the Son of God, he'd blasphemed the Christians, but he had never blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And this is a really vile sin according to the Word of God. Jesus said in verse 33, either make the tree good, and that's sort of a reverse of how we might use that illustration. What he's saying is, if you see good fruit, you have to admit it came from a good tree. If you see bad fruit, you have to admit that it came from a bad tree. There's no other explanation. And that's what he uses in verse 33 as an argument that he is good. Because what he did was good. Jesus healed a man who was blind. He gave a man who couldn't speak the power to communicate. Not just in some roundabout way, but openly, could see well, 20/20, he could speak. Was that a good thing? Jesus said that was a good fruit. Now, if it's a good fruit, where did it come from? It had to come from a good tree. It wasn't an evil thing. If I'd done an evil thing, then you could have looked at the evil fruit and you could have said it comes from an evil tree. But Jesus said, I did a good thing. It was a good fruit. And so you have to agree that it came from a good tree. Now, the condition of the Pharisees is the reason they did what they did. You'll notice that Jesus said in verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye escape? Or rather, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Notice Jesus said two things about the Pharisees. He called them, first of all, a generation of vipers. Now, a viper is a rather small serpent, a snake. It has very strong poison or venom. And as we look at it symbolically, it is a symbol of deceit. It is a symbol of death. It is a symbol of something just lying there ready to do you harm. And that's the sense in which Jesus uses it here. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? In other words, what they were saying were not good things. And therefore, a evil tree was bringing forth evil fruit. If the generation here that he mentions, the Pharisees, if they had been speaking good things about Jesus, it would have meant that they were a good tree. But Jesus said, you are a generation of vipers, and can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what he's saying is, you people spoke an evil thing, and it didn't come simply from the tongue out. It was what was in your heart. He was saying to these Pharisees, religious Jewish leaders, you are rotten to the very core of your soul. And what you said is evil, and it means the tree is evil because an evil tree bears evil fruit. And you brought it out of your heart. In verse 35, Jesus articulates a universal truth. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. Now here's the point. When you see a good thing, it's because it came out of the good treasure of a good man. And the opposite is also true. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Put it in context. What he's saying is this. You people blaspheme the Holy Spirit of God. You said the good thing I did was evil because I did it by the power of Satan. You people have bad hearts or you wouldn't say this. If you were a good man and you had a good treasure, then out of the good treasure of your good heart, you'd be saying good things about me. You would be agreeing that, yes, I am the Son of David. I am the promised Messiah. The tree's known by its fruit. That's what Jesus tells us. Now, as you look at the hearts of these evil men, you'll notice that they spoke. Now we're talking about words. We're talking about words that men speak. And Jesus uses the word idle. And that doesn't mean unimportant. You know, to us, something that's just idle just means it's unimportant. But here it means not working the ground of a garden and yet it's producing. It means not plowing the field, not working the field, and yet whatever it grows, it's whatever just crops up. It's the wild things. So Jesus is talking about an uncultivated, unconverted kind of talk. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, and that's what these men did. They spoke words that were non-productive. They spoke words that were evil. They spoke words that were harmful. They spoke words that meant to destroy Jesus. They spoke words that meant to humble and humiliate him by saying he did what he did by the power of the devil. And Jesus said, every idle word, that which the natural heart produces apart from conversion, that which the natural heart produces apart from training and apart from truth, men are going to give an account to God, which means you will have to answer with or for your words. Now, but I say unto you that every idle word, and that word that's translated word there means an entire discourse. You know, some words mean one word. Logos means a part of it, while rhema means the whole thing. So the whole discourse that you people have made, everything that you have made, all of this idle discourse that you have spoken, you're going to have to meet God in judgment for that. For by thy words, now it's not rhema, the whole sentence, the whole discourse, now it's the part of the whole. So he's saying, for by your words, even that which makes up the sentence, every individual word that makes up the sentence in our English language, every verb, every noun, every pronoun, every adverb, and every adjective, you're going to have to give an account for every one of them. Not just the discourse in general, but every specific word that formed the discourse, you're going to have to answer to God for that. Why? For by thy words, thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Put it in context again. It's the Pharisees. You're going to have to answer for what you said about me casting out devils by the power of Satan. And every sentence that you have put together and formed into paragraphs and used against me, you're going to meet it in judgment, and God's going to tear it down into every single individual word, and you're going to have to give an account of why you said that, of why you believed that, because by these words that you've spoken, when you blasphemed against the Holy Spirit of God, you're going to be condemned or you're going to be justified. And the words that you've spoken against me, the fruit of an evil heart, you're going to be condemned. That's the promise that Jesus made to these people who spoke so evilly, not only of him, but who committed the unpardonable, unforgivable sin when they said he did what he did by the power of the devil. If you've never said that, then you've not committed the unpardonable sin. Have you ever said that Jesus did what he did by the power of the devil? If you haven't, then you can be saved.